You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Another crazy fall night here. Overcast, blustery, as they used to say in Winnie the Pooh, if I can quote Winnie the Pooh. But a beautiful fall night here in northeast Wisconsin. Hope it is gorgeous where you are, too. I'm sure it is because we're in Wisconsin. This is a weekend-like state of mind we have all week here in our beautiful state. So hope you're having a great day. Welcome to Nightlight. Great show tonight. Really fun guests. Conrad is here. Conrad, are you here?
I am here.
I thought so.
How's your M doing?
It's still not. It's better, which means it's a little better, which means it was probably a piece of food, a crumb that keeps getting crushed a little more.
Some gelato.
Every time I hit the M key. So it's better. It's functional. I'm not going to go out and buy a new computer, but if this persists, I'll have to take it to my pal Paul, who takes care of all my computer needs. And I usually just like throw him a gift card. What do you do when a friend helps you out?
I have a friend that's helped me out with computers all the time. You know, like he built my PC for me.
I don't even know how to talk to people like that.
I don't
either.
They
can build a computer. That's insanity.
I have no idea. And then when he's like trying to help me fix it over the phone, he's like, oh, do this and do this. I'm like, I don't understand what any of that means.
What's a space bar? But it's a little better. Thank you for asking on behalf of my letter M. Well, I can't even type anymore. It used to be I can't write because those muscles are gone because I type. So when I write, my penmanship looks like I'm in second grade. But now I can't even type anymore because I will use voice any chance I get. It's the epitome of laziness. It's just me clicking twice on function and going in the Hollywood Beats, blah, blah, blah. And it never translates perfectly. I always have to go back and change things, but I would rather do that than sit there and type. And I'm a writer. I've been typing for the last 25 years. I just can't do it anymore.
My favorite thing is when you voice text me, you know, and you say the line like twice that you meant to say, because
right,
you don't know if it said it, and then it comes in twice.
I'll do that, and then I'll try to fire off a voice text in here during a commercial, like to a potential guest or something, and half of the message from the commercial that's playing will play during the voice. So it'll be like, hey, Rob, can you be on the Now at a Chevy Dealers? We have 20% off. Like, just, it makes no sense. So, but all is good. Tonight is a fun show, folks. You're here on a great night. My pal Jimmy Pardo is here at 6:35. Jimmy and I started a little bit before me in stand-up, but back in the extremely late 1980s, we both started doing stand-up, became fast friends, and he is one of my oldest friends in the biz, and just a great guy. He'll be here at 6:35. He's the host of the Never Not Funny podcast. Very few times, ladies and gentlemen, that a double negative is so effective, but it is when it comes to Jimmy's podcast. It's very funny. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. And Jimmy is also a hilarious stand-up comedian. Have you ever seen Jimmy stand up?
I haven't.
Very, like, stream of consciousness, off the cuff, really funny stuff. He's like a comics comic, just a hilarious guy. He'll be here at 6:35. Great fun. And then at 7:35, Rex Sykes, the co-founder of the Million... I have to pull this up. I always get this confused. I think of the Million Man March. But this is Mission 1 Billion. This is a group Rex co-founded. It's a huge networking organization that meets once a week in Milwaukee. And they're having a big event tomorrow. And TV executive Rocky Wagenhurst will be speaking there tomorrow. So both guys are going to be on the show tonight. So that'll be good fun. Rocky's had a very interesting career, as has Rex. So they will both be along at 7:35 to tell us about this fun event. If you are in the business or want to make a movie or get involved in TV, this sounds like the event for you and the organization for you, as you will probably go there and meet people that could be instrumental and build a little network for yourself. It looks like a really fun event. So we'll learn more at 7:35. Got a fun question tonight. Did you watch any baseball last night?
I did watch a little bit. You know, I watched football because, I mean, the Brewers are out, so I'm like,
yeah,
still a little sad.
Yeah.
So hurting, or, you know, watching baseball hurts a little bit.
Sure. I get it.
But that was a crazy win that the Blue Jays had. They.
I watched, you know, I'm all about the YouTube highlights lately, and I watched that today while I was eating lunch, and man, those Toronto fans are electric.
Yeah. That home run when he hit that.
Oh, it reminds me, one of my favorite sports moments involves the Toronto Blue Jays, and it was when Joe Carter, I think it was in the early or mid-90s, hit a home run. I think it was to win the World Series, and his face, like, if fireworks could be a face, it was Joe Carter. He hit this home run, and he's just doing this and running around the bases. It was a great sports moment. So I think, I told you yesterday, I went to a lot of Dodger games when I lived in L.A. Took my son. His first favorite team was the Dodgers. And I was going for the Brewers. I thought I'll root for the Dodgers in the World Series, but I think I'm going for the Blue Jays. The city is just a great city. And I love LA too, but like the city of Toronto, great fans, you know, and a fun team to watch too. Probably spent a lot more or a lot less than the Dodgers too.
I think they're like fourth in payroll or something.
Are they really?
I mean, they're still pretty high up there.
Wow. Okay. Well, it should be a good series at the very least, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Bruce Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere opens this weekend. Finally, I've been reading stuff about this for a year, talking a little bit about it on this show. So I'm excited to see the film, and I think Jeremy Allen White will be a good boss. He looks the part, certainly in the trailers I've seen. I'll do a Hollywood beat that we'll record tomorrow, probably start playing on Thursday to talk about upcoming movies like I do every week here. And that will definitely be one of them. So I'm excited to see what the critics have to say, and I'm excited to see the film. That should be fun. Lots of stuff going on. I think I sent you that clip.
Yep.
I love it. You know, I used to not like it when people in Saturday Night Live would break and start laughing. But the Heidi Gardner thing with Beavis and Butthead.
It's a classic.
It's unbelievable. One of the greatest moments in Saturday Night Live ever. But I hated, like, when Jimmy Fallon was on the show, the sketch would start, and within 20 seconds, he'd just be cracking up. I'm like, why is he on the show? Put him in the studio audience. If he thinks it's so funny, it just, when it happens all the time, it's not. But these guys, Fred Armiston and... Who was the other guy? Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, yeah.
So funny. As these two guys doing this they're like doing this like accent. I don't even know what kind of accent it is. But they're telling a story to this kid about Santa Claus, and Armiston starts out talking about Santa Claus, or talking about a snowman, and how he doesn't have legs, he has a snowball. And the kid is hilarious. I know that's a visual thing. You can't see the kid, but he's hilarious. But Armiston is telling this story in this crazy accent. And Hader breaks, and then Jamie Foxx is in it, and he's just trying not to laughing at these guys. So I think this is worth playing on the radio alone enough, just for the audio comedy in it. Here's a clip I found today that's kind of old. I just found it today, though, from Saturday Night Live.
Sammy, come here. Do you know the story of Rodolfo?
Yes, we know it very well.
His nose was like no other deer. Yeah, it was electric. They light up. Like a big red cigarette.
Nice.
Yeah, and Santa Claus, I'm having trouble looking at to see a driving the sleigh at night time. So I say, Rodolfo, there is something special about you. And Rodolfo say, who, me? He goes, yeah, I'm talking to you. And Rodolfo say, no, I'm like the other deer. He goes, no, you're not. They don't have a regular nose. They're black. They're just there for a smell.
He knows. Could you get us a cab?
I'll get it, but first listen to this story about Santa Claus. It's going to blow your mind.
Okay, so Santa Claus, he says, I'm going to put Rodolfo in the... in the front, not in the back. the light was just lighting up. So Santa Claus was using his brain. You like that story?
Oh my gosh, there's our cab. Thanks, Alexi.
Christmas.
Okay, make it fast.
Once a bunch of children got together and they said, "Hey, from the snow, let's make a person." So they made this. They make this person, and for his legs, they make a big ball of snow. And for his belly, they make a smaller ball.
You see, and some snowmen are made of two balls. Yeah. And then this one is made of three balls. Frosty, three balls.
Yeah. Anyway, the kids, they take...
I just love hearing people lose it. And Fred Armisen obviously was doing some type of a Hispanic accent, but what was Bill Hader was like, it was like half Dutch, half, that was so bizarre, but it cracked me up. I love people breaking up. All right. I think it's time we get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Demanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
It is National Back to the Future Day. What era would you like to travel back to? National Back to the Future Day, great movie. What era would you like to travel back to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Drop us a text. Over the app is really easy, folks. Nightlight is on in many markets. Whatever station you're listening to, statewide, just click on the little text button and you're all set. Almost as easy as the phone. And then if you're watching the radio on the stream, you can drop us a stream comment if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or X. I'm getting used to calling it X, Con.
I still call it Twitter anytime.
I do casually, but it's just like, is it a battle I want to fight? I hate it either way. But I don't know.
Just like I'll never call it AmFam, you know?
What do you call it?
Miller Park.
Yeah, Miller Park is a good one. What happened there? Miller just said, no, sorry, yeah, it's not for us anymore.
You know, I think there was some numbers that were like, I don't agree with that.
It's too much? Okay. County Stadium. Those days are long gone.
Yeah.
Soldier Field, County Stadium, local ballpark. Like, there's just too many. There's too much money to be made. It's too bad because those are Veterans Park, you know, all those great stadiums. But let us know, folks, what era would you like to travel back to? I'm going to say the 1940s, right after World War II, gin joints popping up, jazz music. And that's when the Beats started, like Kerouac started writing about taking his pension from the military and just traveling America to see what people were up to. Doing things very unconventionally. But even those that did things conventionally could still go to see jazz. And I don't know, it seemed like a great time in America. I'm romanticizing it, of course. Every era had their problems. I almost said the 50s, but I think I'd go back to like the mid to late 40s. What about you, Ken?
I said the medieval times because I think I can make a good knight.
Think so, huh?
Or a jester.
You'd have great hair, according to Eric Ratzak.
Probably, you know, live a short life, you know, but
I hate the medieval times on every level. I hate going to the hotel in Vegas. I hate the 7-course meal where you go and they come in, they call everybody ye and do that kind of stuff. I just have no use for it.
I'd just be in the middle of nowhere, you know, just free with 2 coins.
As a knight? All right, let us know what era you would like to travel back to, folks. It's National Back to the Future Day. Jimmy Pardo is here at 6:35. Lots of fun tonight. Glad you're here. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight, celebrating the glory that is Tuesday night here tonight. Great to have you here. We have a great question tonight. It is National Back to the Future Day. Great movie. And it got me thinking, where would you travel to if you could go to a certain time, whether it's in our own country's history or before the United States even existed? Conrad picked the medieval times because he wanted to be tortured in that stretching machine, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, I'd be a knight and I'd represent the king.
Yeah.
I'd Kingsguard, you know?
You'd be total establishment.
And then on my side gig is being a jester for the king as well.
You have to put your sword down and pull out the microphone. All right, that works. I said the late 1940s, like when gin joints and jazz clubs started opening up after World War II, that must have been a great time to be here. We survived a terrible, terrible time, potential threat. You could argue America's in a pretty bad place right now. Maybe we'll come out of this even better. Who knows? But that's where I would go if I had a choice. I don't think I'd go back to the 1800s or even before the Depression. It was kind of seemed like maybe a cool time in America. But the 50s, there was a lot going on. The interstates were being built. Houses were affordable. 60s, there was all this crazy stuff happening. 70s as well. I don't know.
Couldn't you go to like, you know, one of the like, I don't know what the handy stores were back then, but you could go down the house aisle and pick out a house to be built.
I'll take that one. A nice 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. Well, all the houses were small. I think that's when a lot of people started going to California. They had all these small, like 2-bedroom, 1-bath homes in decent weather, and they were affordable back then.
Yeah. Would you do what Biff did?
Biff. Oh, yeah, Biff from Back to the Future.
And would you go back in time, knowing your knowledge now of betting on games?
Yeah, I would.
I definitely would, too.
I mean, it's kind of cheating, but
I mean,
who are you really hurting?
Yeah.
The bookies. But, I mean, they're probably still going to make money because enough people are going to not make money. I would do it smart, though. I wouldn't try to clean out the house. Yeah, I would make very, it's like in The Sting. You have to take them. And not let him ever know you took him. You can't gloat. You just place those bets and you make a cool million a year.
Wow, what a lucky guess.
Yeah, wow, this guy's on it. Yeah, so Conrad said the medieval times, a gesture / knight. That's like saying when I grow up, I want to be a cop and a professional football player.
Yeah, why not?
When you're a kid. Rob Momart says, if it was like the Flintstones, I would definitely visit the Stone Age. Sadly, it was not as not accurate as portrayed on TV. Yeah, there was no animation back then either, Rob, which would have affected Rob's art. What do you think Rob would have done?
It would have been cool to do the, like, you know, you run to make the car move.
That seems like a lot of work to me. Kind of like the push button start myself.
But once you get it going down that hill.
Yeah, with no brakes. It's not too bad. Thank you, Rob. Daniel Wheeler says, I'll ride shotgun with Conrad in the DeLorean and go back to medieval times. I could probably get a job painting portraits of wealthy landowners and save up my coins to buy a goat.
Nice.
Daniel feels it's worth traveling back then to have a goat.
So I'll see him back in medieval times. You know, I'll protect his goat because I'm a knight.
Or you'll make his goat laugh as a
exactly.
Gesture. Okay. Vince Morano, comedian Vince Morano, says, any day where a company like Apple or McDonald's stock became available. Yeah, that's kind of like the Biff thing. You know, it's interesting. I have friends who bought stock in IBM and made a lot of money, and I have friends that did not buy stock. What was it? Xerox. They missed it. They were like going to do it, and they didn't, and they missed out on a fortune. So that could probably be equally as frustrating, I would think. My pal Sean on social media said the 1940s, with any luck, I'd be the pushiest and most successful prophylactic salesman in Queens, New York. Oh, that's a different kind of creepy. Anybody want to buy a rubber? Who's buying from a guy like that?
Going down the street.
Yeah, walking door to door.
Rubbers for sale.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to sell the housewives rubbers. That's, they're stuck home with a bunch of kids. Maybe they'd be your best customers. I don't know. Lil Irv on the stream says 1984 with enough money to buy Apple, Oracle, Microsoft, Amazon, something, something, Facebook, Tesla, and Bitcoin.
NVIDIA.
NVIDIA, what's that?
I'm pretty sure it's just a technology brand, I believe.
I don't think
it's in my PC.
Is it? So it's still.
But I don't know what it does.
Okay.
It's there.
The key is what you got to do is buy low and sell high. That's the one thing I've learned as a numbers guy. Edward from the 414 says the 90s. I was in my 20s. It wouldn't even be fair. Yeah, the 90s were pretty good too. Yeah, the dot-com boom. The economy was great. Yeah, pretty good music. And it was before smartphones. I like that. Like, I had a cell phone in the 90s. It was like a flip phone. Realistically, that's all I needed. Have a few chats when you're in the car. I don't need everything at my fingertips. That's kind of what I like about the 90s and early 2000s. Thank you, Edward. Brett in Brown Deer says, I'll go back to the 60s and go to Woodstock and see how bad the brown acid was. I knew somebody was going to say or make a reference to that. I wouldn't even know what to do. Like if I was, what would you do if you're at a concert and all of a sudden you're around a bunch of nude people?
I don't know.
It's just kind of like, Steve, well, let's save Conrad's dad's text for when we come back. Jimmy Pardo is here, folks, after the news. That'll be fun catching up with Jim. I've got a lot of cool stuff to ask Jimmy. He's got a lot of different interests, and he's always fun, and he'll probably make fun of my shirt again like he did last time. Stick around and find out. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Nightlight. Our question of the night is, it's National Back to the Future Day. What era would you like to travel back to? And Clint in the 608 says, go back to the day of my birth and tell my parents to stop the circumcision. I don't know if that's really an era, but every little bit helps. Right, Clint? Great text. Thank you. All right. I'm very excited, folks, to welcome my first guest of the night. We go back a long way. He's a great friend. Hilarious stand-up comedian and incredibly accomplished podcast host and host in general, multi-talented, the one and only Mr. Jimmy Pardo. Hey, buddy.
Hello, Pete.
How are you?
Good. You know what? I'm just, I like you. I'm yearning for the time where we all lived in the days of pre-Clint circumcision. I mean, it was a different time, and his parents just did him. They didn't know him right, and we're all feeling it.
It was definitely a more innocent time.
Your words.
I'm with you, buddy. I hope you appreciate, I played that song. I know you're a huge fan of Chicago, as am I, but compared to you, I can't even hold a torch, but I sent Conrad this song, Make Me Smile. I said, let's play some Chicago for when Jimmy comes on. But my computer, Jim, is having an issue with the M's. They're not clicking when I click the M. So my first text to Conrad was, can you pull Ake E Sile?
Okay.
And luckily, I corrected
it. Found it.
He did.
Conrad's good.
He is. I corrected it. He'd still be looking for the song that didn't exist if I hadn't caught my stupidity. So.
Fair.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well. I just saw Chicago in concert at the Hollywood Bowl about a month ago. It was my 112th time seeing them.
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah, that's a lot. You know, I mean, they've been around a long time, and I've been seeing them since 1981. Again, pre-Clint circumcision days, and. I remember the band made mention of that. They said, this one goes out to Clint's parents. You know, let's do it right. Saturday in the park.
And put down the knife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's 112 times. That's like, that's a summer home, Jim.
I think it is. It's probably more than that because I've spent some dumb money on this band, but I think it'll be the last time, Pete. You know, they're down to one original member. And while the current band is great, it's not the band, you know, if you're just a casual person going, hey, let's go listen to those great hits. You're in good shape. But if you're going there to see the guys that you grew up, you know, posters on the wall, this, that, and the other, it's a little disappointing.
How do you, I'm sure I've asked you this before, if not on a previous appearance on the show when we were just hanging out, but like, what's your favorite era of Chicago pre-Clint circumcision, of course?
Yeah, you know, I was just talking about this with my buddy, Stuart J. Waddles, and we were discussing, come on, Stuart. I mean, is that
hear his newscast? How did you know that name?
Stuart, I did. Is that the name of a newsman? Is
it cool? Oh, yeah.
How do we
great.
Feel about it, Pete?
Oh, I love Stuart. He's phenomenal.
I'm not saying I don't like Stuart.
I know that.
You understand that. I got no problem with Stuart. I got no truck with Stu.
Well, you think he should change his name?
I don't know. I don't take a newsman seriously who goes by Stuart J. Waddles. He sounds like a cartoon mouse. And I just don't. I don't trust him with my news. I just picture Stuart Little, and and this is his buddy Stuart J. Waddles, and the two of them go on hijinks together. Pete, they, Stu Little and Stu Waddles. They just their tiny little world in the gutters.
You know, here's what I'm going to say on behalf of my friend Stuart J. Waddles. He's got a face and a voice you can trust, Jim. Name aside, okay. I'm just saying, Conrad, let's, you know what? Cut that from the podcast. Right? I don't want Stuart to hear that. It could send him.
Oh, you don't want Stuart to hear the positivity.
No.
That's interesting.
Stuart could take it. Stuart's actually taken comedy classes. He's friends with a lot of comedians, believe it or not. So he'll be thrilled.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Based on the read of the news, I don't think he's got it.
Come on.
I love Stuart. You know, I love Stu Waddles. You know, I always have. Always going to be a Stu Waddles fan. My favorite era of Chicago is it started in the 80s, but it's hard not to ignore those classics. But, you know, the first time I saw them was in 1981. So I'm a child of the 80s.
Yeah.
I'll answer your question. If, Back to the Future Day, if I can go back to any era, it certainly would be the 80s.
Okay.
You know, when it was, you know, it was just for guys our age. It was an easier time. You know, the hardest thing, my biggest worry was, am I going to open the record store on time? You know what I mean? That was the biggest worry I had.
You know what my biggest worry was? In high school, there was this thing going around where you thought it was a real funny joke if you signed your friend up for the draft or to enlist in the, so you'd fill out the card and then you'd have military recruiters calling you. And guys in my high school thought that was hilarious, Jim.
Wow.
So that was kind of a worry.
Did you go to school in 1967? Are you older than I think you are?
No, we still had, that was still a thing. The draft happened up until, because that was the Cold War too.
Yeah, I know.
So that was a little bit of a concern, but by and large, I'm totally with you on the 80s. It was a fun time.
I do remember talking to somebody, I believe it was a broadcaster, Ed Till, when it looked like we might go into it. Oh, yeah. Might have a draft in the late 80s. And I think, you know, you and I and probably others were probably like, we were just too old to not be drafted, but just young enough to like, well, they might need us.
Right.
And it was a little, I remember it being a little scary, so I couldn't even imagine what it was like for our parents for Vietnam.
60s, no kidding. My dad was dishonorably. He was honorably discharged because he had a back issue, or, you know, I think I would have made it, but my four siblings might not have been born if he had had to go to Vietnam. It's like, I can't even imagine what that's like.
Now, back issues of what magazine? What did he have back issues of that got him kicked out of the service?
True Detective or Spy Detective or whatever that was called. Cracked.
I don't know that.
The occasional Cracked.
In Mad Magazine, he was making those, making boobs out of mountains to entertain himself.
We're going to let this guy go. You, Jim, last time you were here, I still laugh about this. It was very cold. I was sick. I grabbed a very warm shirt. It was not the most attractive shirt in the world. And you made very funny comments. You said, is that from the Tim Walz collection? My daughter, Kate, still laughs at that. But what was so funny was just the way you looked at my shirt when you came on. And I could... And I was like, literally, like, here it comes. I know it's coming.
And the wind up, the pitch.
So beautiful.
Now, Pete, if I mentioned Tim Walz, was that pre-election? Is that
you were here in January. I can't believe it's been that long, but that was post-election.
Okay, so it was post-election, but pre-
inauguration, maybe? That could be.
Yeah, all right. Well.
He was making some funny videos, whether or not you agree with his president.
You know what? I like the idea that he's doing it himself. That he, that fumbling, his thumbs wouldn't know what to hit. We had a nice rally on Saturday, Pete. We went, Danielle and I, my beautiful wife Danielle and I, we went to the rally in Beverly Hills, California.
Oh, nice.
And it was celebrity free. I expected to see a few celebrities out there, but I didn't see any celebrities. It being Beverly Hills, I thought we'd see some big names with placards out there, but a little disappointing.
You know what was fun to go to in Beverly Hills is when we would all get together and watch the Oscars. And a lot of us were very new out there. And then we would just walk down the street and see everybody going into the after parties. Were you part of that? When I think
I was part of that. And then here's where it turned. My wife, who grew up out here and whose father was, you know, a star of Star Trek.
Yeah.
She was at one of those parties once. And we all, you know, this is back in our drinking days, too.
Sure.
So we would go to the Oscar party. We'd watch the Oscars. Again, we're new to Los Angeles. We're young actors. We think, you know, this is 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, oh, we could walk less than a mile to watch them go into the Vanity Fair party. And it was exciting. Also, we're drunk. Very important to know that we're drunk. Right. And my wife was like, I grew up here. I don't understand why this is fun. She's like, and it kind of like, it was like, yeah, you know what? We're professionals. Why are we doing this? Why am I going down there to yell hello to Roger Ebert? Why am I?
Oh, wow.
I remember one time I was really drunk and I was on the, talking to somebody back in Chicago on a payphone. That happened to be along the limo route, and Roger Ebert got out of the limo and then walked to the Vanity Fair party, and I yelled to him, "Hey, Roger, it's me, Jimmy. I'm on the phone with Chicago," as if he's going to go, "Oh, you're talking to somebody in the city? Let me come over." Like, I don't know what I expected.
Right. Well, hey, look, we all have our moments, but I will say to you, within a week of the death of Ace Frehley.
Yes.
You and I had, and I've told this a story before on the show when Jimmy's been here, I apologize, but you saw Paul Stanley, and I thought you were going to lose your mind. We were at a gas station in the Cahuenga Pass, and
yeah.
You were like, oh my God, it's Paul Stanley, and you were almost hyperventilating, and you're like, where's my KISS CD? I always have a KISS CD. But the second he came over, I've never seen anyone more cool. You were like, love the new album. And he's like, do you? Thanks. Yeah, when we went into the studio at first, he starts talking like, you guys had this like 5-minute conversation. It was beautiful.
It was pretty cool. Like he talked as if he wasn't Paul Stanley of
right.
KISS. He talked about like a guy who's like, oh, you like our band? Oh, that's great that you like our band. Let's talk a little bit about it. Like,
right.
Not the fact that like again, I had his posters all over my wall as a kid, and that's kind of how I feel about Ace Frehley. It's you know, Ace was on my podcast about 7 years ago, and
nice.
So to have a legend like that on was really really cool. And then you know, and he was a very nice guy, a real nice guy. And, you know, I'm always weirded out when people get a little overly emotional when a celebrity dies. Cause it's like, come on, man, you don't know that person. And I don't know Ace Frehley, but I will say he's been part of my life since 1976, you know?
For sure.
And, so it did put me in a funk for a day when you know, with Ace's passing. And again, he was a nice man when he came on the podcast.
Somehow Destroyer. Or it was either Destroyer or Machine Head was my first album. And the other one was the second one. I don't. And let
Machine
me say,
Head by Deep Purple?
Yeah, Deep Purple. And my guest is Jimmy Pardo. He is the host of the Never Not Funny podcast. Check it out if you haven't. It's very funny. He is also a very, he's a hilarious stand-up comic. And he's joining me here on Nightlight. Jim, I want to say, I think that was Paul Stanley. He had the makeup on. And
you know what? It could have just been a guy going to a kid's party.
He asked us to go to the bathroom with him. I thought that was a little strange, but
listen, that's how rock and rollers do it. That's how Hollywood rolls. It's a different world out here, Pete.
Hey, so let me ask you something. All right. You're this huge stand-up comic, and I don't know if you were asked to do this or what your thoughts were, but when the comedians went to the comedy festival in the Middle East, I don't even know if mm-hmm. I'm saying it right. Is it Riyadh?
Riyadh.
Okay. I was looking at it phonetically. What did you think about that? Because it was controversial, and I kind of thought at first, well, they're going to the Middle East as ambassadors to make people laugh, and then I found out who was behind it, and I was like, oh, that's sick. So I mean, they're all kind of defending themselves and getting defensive. It was, you know, it was Bill Burr, and Chappelle, and some of those guys. What's your take on that? You're closer to this.
I don't know if I could have said no fast enough had they offered it to me. I don't care about, even the low money that was offered was like $350,000, which,
oh, wow.
That's $100,000 is like, $10,000 is good money. Like,
sure.
So it's life-changing money, but, you know, I feel I felt the same way about the LIV tour, the golfers who are taking that money. And it's like, they're like, I'm making more money than ever. And I play golf less. It's like, but you're taking money from people that use a bone saw.
I mean, blood money. Yeah.
How do you feel good about that? So I felt that way about the LIV tour. And then when I saw this thing happening, and then you saw like the grid of comedians that went, and it's like, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. Like they're all kind of these guys and a few of the women who that just seems to be their brand, where like they are okay with that. And I was sickened by it. And, you know, the fact that Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle and Aziz and there's a fourth one who, Louis C.K., you know, they're digging their heels in.
Right.
Whereas someone like Jessica Curson immediately went, I made a mistake. I should not have done this. I didn't realize it was, you know, but for Bill Burr to say the Royals were happy. It's dude, come on, man.
And they're I don't get it.
I wouldn't have gone. I'm sorry, Pete.
They don't need the money either. They're the comics that don't need the money.
That's like, the other thing. They're the comics.
Let's pick up here. We got to do a really short break. Jimmy Pardo is here, folks, host of the Never Not Funny podcast. We're coming back after a very short break. Don't go anywhere. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Mike Starr, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. This is great. Another text from Tyler from the 608. He says, I want to see the Big Bang. I bet that was a very blustery day. That's a good one. Thank you, Tyler. Here is another text that's geared toward my guest, Jimmy Pardo. Joe from La Crosse, he's in the 608, says, I finished watching The Godfather of Green Bay last night, and I have to say that I absolutely loved it. You two guys were great. Well, thank you, Joe. And Jimmy was, every once in a while I hear Higgins, and it cracks me up.
Well, it's one of those. I was just talking about that role the other day, Pete. You know, when you work on a picture like that, you're on a set with the type of talent that I was on. You really immerse yourself in the role. And actually, what I was talking about was the fact that I can't believe the confidence that I had that you talked me into showing my rear, my nude behind, in addition to opening up the door in nothing but bikini briefs and a robe, and I did it. And I don't know. To this day, I don't know how. I would say no if you asked me today.
Yeah, it was peer pressure, probably. No, you didn't show your butt, though.
I showed my butt because you were asleep in the bathtub, and you looked over, and I'm taking a whiz. And
What's
that?
We cut. We didn't use that.
You still shot it. I still had to do it.
Listen, if you want it for your reel, just ask Jim. It's fine. We'll send it to you.
What if that was the only thing on my reel? please hire me. And it's just my butt from behind while I'm going to the bathroom.
Jimmy's ass is in demand. That was fun. You were very funny, though.
Well, Pete, I appreciate it. You know, that was a lot of fun. And that was Oktoberfest, what, 2004?
Yeah, it sounds about right. It's weird. Because of this show, I've not had to, but it just comes up. And I haven't talked about the movie in so long. And now we're doing a screening in Madison on the 4th. And it's kind of come back into my life, this movie. Oh. I wasn't sick of it. I'm proud of it. I like it. But I'm still sort of like, it's just like if you had to do the same jokes over and over in your act. Well, you know what I mean?
I don't know if that's a good example. I think that's, I improvise every night. It's a different show every night. And but Pete, you got some new clips from that movie? That's unfair. I'm doing inside jokes on a radio show. I apologize.
I keep clip. No, listen, here's the funny story. Okay, Steve Iatt, this is so, you're friends with Steve. Very good friends.
I am.
All right. Dave Dugan on Facebook today posted just a picture of Steve Iatt on stage. No caption, no nothing. And my first thought, what would your first thought be if you saw that?
I would think probably the same thought you had, maybe not a positive one.
Dear God, what happened? Oh, no, not Steve. That was my
100%.
So I go to Steve's Facebook page. There's nothing posted. It says no posts available. Oh, no. And then I look and Dave's working with Steve and he just didn't post the other pictures yet. So,
by the way, how funny is that show? Dave Dugan and Steve Iatt. Oh my God.
Great show. Yeah. Excellent show.
What a show.
Steve keeps saying, I'd love to do your show. Let me do it when I'm coming to Wisconsin to do stand-up and I can talk about it. And that apparently is never going to happen. I don't think anybody in Wisconsin is booking Steve because I haven't heard a peep from him.
I don't know. I think Pete, I'm sorry. I think Steve, I haven't. He's not done my podcast either, and I would love to have him on any time. Yeah, I'm on record. He's the funniest guy I've ever met.
Very funny guy. And I don't care if he doesn't want to do it. Like, I've had guys that say, look, I don't really do that stuff anymore. I'm fine with that. I don't care. Great. But I really feel like
why don't you accept that when I say it? This is my bare butt all over again. I'm bullied into this.
I blackmail you with the butt footage.
I love it.
Yeah, I was laughing because Steve, one of my best memories of Steve, you and I and Steve were miniature golfing for money in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it was literally the hole you always make fun of, the windmill hole when your stand-ups are doing a joke. Yeah, I have trouble with the windmill hole. This was a windmill hole, and Steve was trying to time it to hit the ball. And right when he was on his backswing, you and I both knew he timed it horribly and was going to hit the blade. And we looked at each other and Steve, I've never laughed so hard at someone's anger. It was beautiful.
Yes, he was. I've lost back in those days. I was making, and you know this, you make when you're a beginning comic, you make $250 a week, maybe.
Yeah.
And I remember one week, Steve and I were working in Toledo. I believe it was Toledo. And I lost all that money to him on the miniature golf course. I lost.
Oh my gosh.
I kept, cause he's a better golfer than me. And even on a miniature golf course, he's putting better than me. And I keep double or nothing. And all of a sudden I'm writing him a check for $250 because we just played miniature golf. I'm an idiot.
Oh my gosh. He took it too, huh? He didn't let you off the hook.
You know what? You gamble, you touch the oven, you're going to get burned, Pete. Would I have taken the money from a friend? Probably not.
Me too. I think we just found a chink in the eye at armor here is what I'm saying. Like, he's a good guy to a point.
He's a hustler. You know what he is? He's a hustler. No, what's the word you're a hustler.
Or a hustler. Yeah, that works.
Yeah. I'm not a good pool player. And then you are. That's
sure.
Steve. He's again, brilliantly funny and a great guy.
I want to ask you this, and I'm hoping I can keep you through the news, Jim, for another segment.
Sure.
You have a son who is very interested in the arts, very talented kid. I've seen some of the things he's done that you and your wife post online. It's just great stuff. And he seems to be following you into this business as kind of my kids are right now. How do you feel about that?
You know how I feel about it? I wish he went into anything else. At the same time, Pete, he's opened for me about, he's done about 10 to 12 stand-up sets. He's opened for me about 10 times.
Oh, I think he told me that, yeah.
He is, he's good.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. It's like, as a comedian, I don't say this as a dad, I say it as a comedian. When you see somebody that's got it, you go, that guy's got it. Or you see somebody that's like, why is this guy doing comedy? He's horrible. My son has it. And so how do I feel about it? I wish he was doing anything else, but how do I not encourage him to continue being hysterical?
That's exactly how I feel. I just wish my kids were talented. That's the difference.
No.
And that's the problem. But I'm still nervous. Like, they're both sharp kids, but I'm still like, just go be an electrician or do something I don't have to worry about. So I don't have to worry about this again, you know?
Here's the other thing, Pete. You and I both know what happens on the road. Our parents didn't. Right. You know what I mean? And so, like, if all of a sudden Oliver's opening up for somebody in Cincinnati, it's like, I know what happens after shows and so on. It's like, oh, no. But
you get together with the other comics, you read a little scripture, it's a good time. It's fun.
Okay, you know what? I forgot.
All right, we are coming right back for Act Two. Enjoy your intermission, folks. Jimmy Pardo's coming back too, and we will read some of your texts. Our question of the night, what era would you travel back to? It's National Back to the Future Day. We are coming right back. It's a Tuesday at Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.